Good morning, church. Merry Christmas. Last week we saw the promise that God made. This week we see the response. How do we respond when God shows up and makes a promise? So would you please open up to Luke chapter 1 as we prepare for God's word. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your goodness that we enjoy every day. Thank you so much for coming to us through your word, Lord, sending angels our way, sending your spirit to each one of us, sending your strength and wisdom, your power and glory, Lord, coming down in the form of a human being, Jesus Christ. And through him, Lord, we are redeemed. Through him, we are alive. So as we look back through the events of his coming, Lord, we just want to embrace your son afresh, Lord. We want to embrace Jesus. But amidst all the celebrations, the singing, the joys, even the suffering that many may be going through today, the uncertainties, oh Lord, the troubles that we have, Lord, we ask that we would focus on our Lord Jesus because he came to be with us and to just undo all the effects of sin, to remove anxiety, O Lord, to give us peace, peace in our hearts, to pour down righteousness, to give us joy. So, Lord, may you, O Lord, honor and glorify yourself as you teach us your word today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So Luke chapter 1, verses 34 to 38. Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month of her who was called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible." And Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. So last week we saw the angel coming, and you know, Mary is perplexed. She's afraid. Just going around her normal day, maybe fetching water, maybe cooking, maybe just sitting by a tree, maybe even stressed with wedding preparations that they were looking forward to. An angel comes and gives her a promise from the Lord that she was going to have a child, and this child is going to be the Son of God. This child is going to be a king forever, an eternal king. This child is going to be the Savior of our soul, the Messiah. That is exciting news. Well, there's a question she has. How is this going to happen? I'm still single. I'm not yet married. In Luke chapter 1, verse 18, when God revealed to Zacharias about the birth of John the Baptist, he responded with unbelief. He could not believe it. In Luke chapter 1, verse 18, and Zacharias said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man and my wife is well advanced in years." His question was one of unbelief, like, this is impossible. And you know, the consequence of his unbelief was such that he was mute until the baby was born. He walked out of the temple after ministering and he could not say a word. And the people discovered or realized that God had revealed something to him that just made him mute. Well, Mary is asking, "Please explain to me how this is going to work." Because when God starts to do something that we don't understand, it's good that we go back to him and ask, "Okay, God, you're going to do something, but I don't understand it fully. Would you please explain it to me?" So is Mary's response. She's inquiring. She's excited. How is this going to happen? I am still single. I'm not going to wait until we marry. I don't even know the day Joseph is coming for me. Well, would you please tell him to come quick, right? Go tell that guy to make preparations really fast so he He comes and picks me up, and then we shall have this baby. Somebody said that her response was one of wonder-filled faith. She is so amazed, she's so excited. She's like, how is this going to happen? It's very easy for us to probably extend an argument with the Lord when he comes to us and tells us about something that we don't fully understand. It's very easy for us to wrestle with doubt. Well, I doubt that's going to happen. And many scriptures, and all of us, struggle with doubt. You know, God is just going to do something, but because you're thinking it's delayed, we don't know what he's up to, you're thinking it's not going to happen. But remember, the person who made the promise, it's God himself. And the angel explains that the Holy Spirit was going to overshadow her, come over her, to cover her with a cloud. She was going to be engulfed. She's going to be immersed. She's going to be, we call it, baptized. She's going to be literally soaked with the power of God as the cloud of God's glory came over the tabernacle and the temple in the Old Testament. God is going to come down. An angel is just making the announcement. In Exodus chapter 40, verses 34 to 35, the cloud covered the tabernacle of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle, and Moses was not able to enter the tabernacle of meeting because the cloud rested above it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. God was going to do this himself with his power and his presence, and that's what we need the most. The tasks that are ahead of us are obviously enormous. In fact, life in itself is hard work. And we do well to go to God and say, God, okay, how am I going to manage this thing ahead of me? I need some instructions. I need some help. How am I going to climb this mountain? You know, she's going to have to wrestle with what her community is going to respond to. Obviously, they're going to discover she has had a pregnancy without being married. She's going to have to endure, even risk stoning. She's going to endure the mockery of the society back in the day. The doubts among people. How are you going to convince us that you're having a baby and you have not married yet? What do you think her friends are going to respond? Mary, come on, be honest with us. Tell us the truth. We know. We know you're going to get married. So what happened? Well, the Spirit is going to do something more supernatural than the conception of John the Baptist. We see the miracle of John's conception. This is even and completely impossible, speaking as a human. No baby will ever be conceived like Jesus was conceived. Only one. Now, even the natural process of conception is just a miracle. A baby forming in a mother's body is just a miracle. And you can imagine as early as a few weeks, there's a heartbeat already. Like a tiny little heart beating already. And the organs are starting to form. And we can explain the process, but it's a miracle. That's just how God creates life. So even the natural conception of a baby is just a wonder. Well, how about a supernatural conception? Many are going to be awestruck, like obviously we are. The power of the highest is coming down so that the Holy One who is to be born becomes a human being in Mary's belly. The Holy Spirit is here with us. And throughout scriptures, we see how God, in his triune nature, comes to involve himself with all our affairs. Amazingly, with no invitation whatsoever. From Genesis to Revelation, God is actively involved. We often miss out the tangibility of those things happening, but God is at work among us in each one of our hearts. When God wanted to build a tabernacle, he allowed his Spirit to come over two men, Bezalel and Oholiab. And Moses was like, how is this tabernacle going to be built perfectly? And God said, you know what? I'm anointing two people. They're going to be anointed craftsmen. The Spirit was going to empower them to actually build God's house. The judges, Samson, before he was even born, God had planned that his Spirit was going to be upon him. He was going to be a judge over the nation of Israel to protect it with his physical strength. Gideon, a coward, considered himself too small to be used of God. The Spirit came upon him and it made a difference. He made a difference in Gideon's life. Jephthah, just an ordinary man faced with protecting the nation of Israel. Balaam the prophet. Saul the king. We often remember Saul as this guy who turned out to be proud and obviously went the other way. But remember when he was anointed or chosen by God to be a king, he was even hiding. He was humble. And God put his Spirit on him and Saul became a king. Azariah and the prophets. David. Daniel. He was able to live successful and serve a pagan king by the power of the Spirit of God. Zerubbabel, accomplishing the rebuilding of the temple and the city of Jerusalem, not by might, not by power, but what? By the Spirit of God. Zacharias, the conception of John the Baptist, God was going to do that himself. The preachings of John the Baptist, how was he able to draw people to the kingdom of God as he prepared the way for Jesus Christ? By the Spirit of God. Jesus himself, his disciples. In Acts chapter 2, the Spirit comes down and makes a difference. And through the book of Acts, the power of the Spirit, and through this day, through to this day, God is still at work in us. You may not feel it, but God is at work in you with his Spirit. In Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 5, as you do not know what is the way of the wind or how the bonds grow in the womb of her who is with child, so you do not know the works of God who makes everything. As much as we know how God works, when God does something, we are left amazed. None of us is thinking, oh, this is an ordinary baby. Oh, the Spirit is coming down. No surprise. No. And the writer of Ecclesiastes says, you know what? You do not know how the wind blows, which direction it goes. Neither can you fathom the wonders of God, even creating just one baby. The wisdom, the power. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. The Spirit of God was going to come and hover over Mary. Literally guide her, protect her, shield her, and make sure she gives birth safe. Even when later on Herod wants to kill Jesus, the Spirit was there to guide them to safety and bring them back. How we need to align ourselves with God. And he works in us through his Spirit. How we need our minds to be aligned with God's mind. And the Spirit here is going to guide Mary through every step of the way. This is a supernatural environment here. And Mary has to be in tune with the Spirit of God. And we make so many mistakes. We wander off God's path. We fail. We trouble ourselves. When we do not incline our thinking to his. And maybe we can be thinking of all the times that we have frustrated ourselves, not listening to God's Spirit. As one who follows the Lord, we have to be completely in tune with what he's doing. And he speaks, doesn't he? We often are not listening, or at least we are not obedient. But God is always faithful to speak. And Mary wants clarification. She's like the Israelites. We will not make any move until you guide us, Lord. We will not leave this place until you guide us. And if God comes to you and says something to you that he needs to accomplish through you, just sit there and ask him questions. God, how is this going to work? What should I do? What step should I take? What move should I make? In Exodus chapter 31, verse 3, "And I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship." I gave that example. And God has done it. When Moses was asking questions, okay, this tabernacle, how am I going to do it? Remember Noah, this ark is still a wonder. How was this guy able to build something that was ocean worthy? Thousands of years ago, 6,000 years ago. When you see these ocean liners, you're like, wow, men are brilliant. I saw one recently that is a yacht, but it's also a submarine. It can go underwater for 10 days. You can imagine a huge ocean vessel going under the ocean for 10 days. You can go on a cruise and be underwater for 10 days. You're like, all the oxygen is in there. All the poo is in there. And all the food is in there. For 10 days, right? And everybody's fine. You're like, wow, men are brilliant. But think about Noah. He did it years ago, 6,000 years ago. We saw the tabernacle in Exodus, and you're like, man, this is an illustrated, highly illustrated and detailed piece of construction. How were they going to do it? God's Spirit was going to come and help them. In Judges chapter 6, verse 34, "But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew the trumpet, and the Abiezrites gathered behind him." There was war, and God was going to fight through his Spirit. Job chapter 33, verse 4, "The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life," he said. Daniel chapter 5, verse 14, "I have heard of you, the Spirit of God is in you, and the light and understanding and excellent wisdom are found in you." That was the testimony of a pagan king. Would even a non-Christian be able to say, you know what, I know the Spirit of God is upon you? They'll look at your life. They'd look at how you align yourself with the Lord, how you are obedient to his word, and be sure that the Spirit of God is upon you. And maybe you've had such an experience when somebody meets you and they say, you know, there's something different about you, and it must be God. You're not just like everybody else. It must be God, and he should be that person in us that engulfs us, overshadows us, surrounds us, and guides us to accomplish his will. One of the distinctives of Calvary Chapel is this statement: having begun in the Spirit, we continue in the Spirit. Having begun by the work of God through us, then we cannot try to perfect it in the flesh. I recently went to a church, and I used to go to this church early in my Christian days as a teenager. You know, in our day, we didn't have phones, we didn't have internet, there was nothing. So if there was an event at some church down some road, that's where we'll all go. So we'll make a program. The last day of school as teenagers. Okay, program, and there's this thing at the other church, so all of us would, phew. There's this thing at the other church, and then all of us would go. So I recently went to this church, and I'm thinking, whoa, it's completely different. Doesn't look like the church that I attended years ago. I don't know, maybe 16 years ago. And it appears that the Spirit began the work, but men tried to perfect it in their own flesh, and obviously distorted everything. Job said, you know, the Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life. And that was Mary's statement, you know. Well, that was her answer. The Spirit of the Lord has made you. He's going to make this baby, and God is going to guide you. He's going to talk to Joseph. She's thinking, okay, how am I going to explain to Joseph this? Don't worry, I'm going to speak to him. How am I going to tell my mom? I'm going to speak to her. This is the fulfillment of a promise that I made. It will be fine. Well, this is going to be a king. You know, Herod is afraid of any king. Don't worry, I'm going to keep him blind. And God kept Herod blind until the baby was safe. Even when the wise men visited, Herod knew nothing about the king who was born, King of the Jews. I want us, as we close the year, as we celebrate Christmas, as we get into the new year, to be those people who are engulfed and overshadowed by the Spirit of God. Fully, fully. There should be evidence in each one of us that God's Spirit is upon us. There should not be seen an evidence of us just managing affairs ourselves, because we will fail. We should not be seen as those who are influenced by the world, and so many are. But we should be those who are completely given to God, and it's God who manages the affairs of our lives. And it should be evident. Like, people would look at us and say, you know what? Those guys are engulfed, are immersed in the Spirit of God. And we see it. And God, through this angel, says to Mary, another miracle just happened. One who is old and considered barren is going to have a child. And sometimes God, in our wanderings, in our thoughts, in our questions, he's able to actually tell us something else that he's doing. Sometimes have that privilege of, you know what, I'm doing this in your life. And you're like, what? And then he says, can I tell you something? I'm actually doing something in somebody's life. And you're like, what? You're doing that? Mary, you know somebody who is old and it's probably completely impossible for her to have a child. She is going to have a child. Just to encourage her heart. Just to bless her heart. Remember when Elijah thought that he was the only one functioning under the Spirit of God, and God says, you know what? No, I have thousands of others. Just to encourage him that, you know what, you're not alone. And tell you what, we can be so alone and feel so alone, even in the things that God has called us to do. Because God speaks to you individually. If God wants to accomplish something, he's going to come to you personally. He sent an angel to Mary, and God will send a messenger to you. And you're thinking, God, I need some company. I need some friends to do this with. And God says, fine, I'll do that. Remember Moses? I can't even speak. God says, don't worry, I'm going to deal with that. And as we close this year, I'm so sure that God wants to speak to each one of us about things that he wants to accomplish in the next number of years. And maybe you'll say, you know what? I am doing this thing with you, and I'm doing something else with some other person. So don't think that, obviously, to keep you humble, right? Sometimes they're like, oh, I'm the only one God has spoken to. No, like, don't worry, I'm working through others as well. Just to strengthen us. One who was barren is going to have a child. Can you imagine? In Romans chapter 8, verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. The evidence that we are the sons of God is that we are led by the Spirit of God. And I pray, I don't even know how much I can emphasize this, but would you please be attention to what is happening in your life, what God is doing. May you try to fight off every distraction. And I don't say this as a pastor because I'm supposed to say it, but I want each one of us to enjoy all that God has as part of his kingdom here, as a part of the construction of his eternal kingdom. And he's doing it here. Imagine God came to you and this was you, right? Imagine God wanted to do something bigger and this was you he was going to use. This is you he's going to use. Imagine God wants to just turn this city upright. And God says, I want to use you. You know, one of the benefits of serving here is that we've been here, what, 17 years? I think we'll do a big celebration when we make 20 years in 3 years. And I've been serving here as a senior pastor for 6 whole years. What I've been able to see is, you know, we appear very small, a church, but we're actually very large. And it's amazing how God has shaped people for the things that he had prepared them. I'll tell you the story of a man. He used to come to this church, probably from 2005, maybe about to 2010, about 5 years. And while he was here, he got all the teachings of the Bible that he could ever get, put them in his car radio. This guy is an auditor, would audit our books here. And he listened to the Bible from Genesis to Revelation through so many teachers, Chuck Smith and Pastor Brian Kelly, and he would just get as much. And this is an auditor, you're like, an auditor interested in the Bible? He should be interested in maths and figures. So what happens? He builds a house as far as Kauku on Entebbe Road, and he goes to a church nearby. It's called Life Church. So in Life Church, it's like, oh, he goes for their discipleship classes. Like, oh, I want to attend discipleship classes. He didn't do that here. He just came to church, listened to the Bible through his car radio, and that was it. When he was in the discipleship class, he was number one. So he knew everything. So the pastors of the church, that Life Church in Namasuba, they pulled him aside and said, Negwe, you know, where do you find this wisdom? Like, you are number one. You just came to the church. Like, the people who have been here for years, they failed, right? They got like 20%. And he told them, you know what? I am from Calvary Chapel. And, you know, I have been going through the Bible through so many teachers. And like, ah, that's why. We know those Calvary Chapel guys. This guy is now the pastor of Life Church, Kauko. You understand? This is just an ordinary church member like you. Just allowing God to empower him. And he's just an auditor. And you may think, a pastor, oh, you need to go to Bible college, seminary. You guys, you know, you need to spend a lot of time at church. But what, and that's just one story. And over 17 years, there are so many from Calvary Chapel, Rua to Entebbe to Fort Porto. Those guys have come out of our church. We don't seem like we are this large, mega church. And somebody said this about us, that we're not really known for our seating capacity, but the impact that we've had in some people is huge. And through our simple ministry of the word, we've actually had a huge influence on so many churches in this city, big and small. And they come and they're like, how do you do that? And we're able to help them. And that's our mission in this city. And that's your mission in this city. Maybe God will choose you like Richard is called Richard. And just through your ordinary attendance here, God does something amazing and powerful somewhere else. And that's what he wants you to do. To just constantly listen to him. Ask questions if you can. And let's see, in a number of years, 5 to 10 years, I'm telling you, each one of us will be completely, completely different. You won't even imagine what God will do with you if you just allow him to engulf you with his spirit. And when the angel tells Mary God is doing something in Elizabeth's life, she's like, you know what? Wow. And the angel tells her, for with God, nothing will be impossible. Can you imagine? Just a few times in the Bible, maybe about 5 or 6 times where that word is used. Twice. It is used in reference to how God is limitless in the things that he does. Now, I can think about so much that I think God should do. Maybe you're like me, like, God, I want you to do this grand thing. And I read this, I'm thinking, okay, God can do that. He can do that. Think about something completely out of this world. And yes, God can do it. For his glory. And somebody said, this is enough to help her over all the difficulty that appears in it. A divine power will undertake it, not the power of an angel employed in it, as in either works or wonder, but the power of the Holy Ghost himself. Mary, there's evidence that God is working. And maybe we need evidence like Isaiah's day when God went to Ahaz and like asked a sign. Maybe he wants a sign. Maybe he wants evidence. God, okay, you prove to me that you're doing something. And God says, okay, fine, let me show you. In Habakkuk's day, God told Habakkuk that if I were to show you what I'm doing right now, there's destruction, there's hopelessness, there's famine. The whole nation of Israel has completely been wiped out. If God told Habakkuk, if I would show you what I'm doing right now, your ears would tingle. Do you want to see your ears tingle? Do you want to go into the mirror and you're like waking up and you're making up and then your ears start to dance around? Do you want to do that? Do you want to see that? You'll be like, I don't see my ears tingle, but God says, I'm constantly doing something that will cause everybody to marvel. And when we least expect it, when we least expect to see God work, you know that's when he actually does something. And maybe you're here thinking, oh, that is one thing that I least expect God to do. Tell you what, God is going to do it. Whatever it is that you're thinking about, God is going to do it. With him, nothing is impossible. In Genesis chapter 18, verse 14, is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. A miracle baby was promised to Abraham. That happened. Well, for Zacharias, he didn't even have a promise of a son directly, but this day he goes to church and he goes before the Lord and God says, you're going to have a son. And he walks out mute. And Mary, a teenager, God says, you're going to have a miracle baby, the biggest miracle ever. Can you imagine? That's just a sample of what God does among us. God went to Abraham and Sarah and said, you know what? Is there anything too hard for me? Just, is there anything too hard for me? Do you think there's anything too hard for the Lord? Now, because we get overwhelmed with the things that we go through, sometimes we think, at least there is something that God cannot do. That's blasphemy. There's actually a Bible teacher, well-respected, who once said that there are things that are too hard for God to do. And one of them is changing the human mind. You remember the guy who died in a plane crash? Miles Monroe? That's what he said one time. Like, he said, I'm going to say something that you're going to disagree with. You know how that's how some false teachers begin off their statements. There are things that God cannot do. And I'm like, no way. That's what you think. There's nothing that God cannot do. If you believe a God, in a God who cannot do certain things, then he's not God. Then he would never be God. But you believe in God who can do so many things, even things that you consider impossible, that's the God that we bow down before. And we have record of his power. And there's yet more. It's not even done yet. There's nothing impossible for God, Christians. And as we look at circumstances around Jesus, the birth of Jesus, we are reminded that God, the God we believe in, can do anything that he wants to do. Mary wasn't even thinking, I'm going to believe God for a miracle conception. Because sometimes we limit God's work to just what we think. I'm believing God for this, and those things are fine, right? We can trust that God does something, that's okay. But he's going to go way beyond what we think. One preacher said, in all the instances in the Old Testament of those having children that have been long barren, which was above nature, were designed to prepare the world for the belief of a virgin bearing a son, which was against nature. And therefore, even in the birth of Isaac, Abraham foresaw a miracle in the birth of Christ. The angel assures Mary of this to encourage her with faith and concludes with the great truth of undoubted certainty and universal use. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. And if nothing, this author says, then not even this. God is going to do it. Mark chapter 10, verse 27. But Jesus looked at them and said, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God, all things are possible. Amen? All things are possible. Let's be reminded that God is going to do the things that we consider impossible. And lastly, Mary has a response. Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel left. Now let me say this. This is me. If God sent me an angel with something grand as this, I'll tell the angel, you know what? Let's sit. Have a seat. Don't go anywhere, okay? You sit there. Let me bring some food, right? Let me run down the market. Sorry, I'm a single guy. I just have disposable stuff. Let me go for some pork there. You know, I need more. You know when you're like, I just need to keep this conversation going. So with God, nothing is impossible. So you tell me. So you mean you, and we would go on and on and on. And I'm like, can you just stay here? Can you just stay here? Like, can I just live with you? Remember when Jesus is transfigured before these followers and they're like, guys, this is so amazing. Let's build our homes right here. Down this mountain. Let's stay here. Let's wake up every day and see the brilliance of God coming from up the mountain. You know, there are times that God comes and is very personal to each one of us, and I'm thinking, I just want that experience every day. I just want an angel knocking on my door every day and reminding me with God, nothing is impossible. Aren't you that way? Like you just want, I just came to remind you that with God, nothing is impossible. See you later. Like, oh, I had forgotten that. See you again. Please come again tomorrow and remind me that. Mary, she should have said to this angel, could you please stay longer? Can I go with you to Joseph? You know, this guy, it's going to be hard convincing this guy, right? My mom, oh, you should know my dad. Could you please come with me? Let's go talk to my dad. How about my friends? They're not going to believe me. Can you come and talk to my friends? Well, the angel left, and her response is unique. The maidservant of the Lord. I am willing. A statement of willingness. After God has answered all his questions, all her questions rather, she is willing to be a servant. A servant of the Lord. Are you willing? The greatest, the Bible teaches, the greatest among us is a servant of all. Are you willing to be a servant? Are you willing to serve God's purposes? Regardless of what you do, are you willing? Will you tell God, just do what you want to do? Now, you know Mary had a choice, right? And all of us have a choice. Mary could have said, with all the explanations given, she could have said, angel, just find somebody else. I know God can do everything, but no. I'm not going to be a mother. I'm not ready for that. I'm not going to be a single mother. I'm not going to labor through explaining all this to anyone or everyone. Just go. And you know, the angel could have said, you know, that's okay. I'll go find somebody else. And there's sometimes that we can be unwilling to be used of God, and God obviously will use somebody else, right? But do you want that in your record that, you know what, God gave me an opportunity and I let it pass? She says, I'm willing to serve the Lord. Let it be. Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. A huge statement of faith. If somebody ever asks you your personal statement of faith, this is a good summary. I am willing to serve the Lord and to do everything he wants to do through me. Even the things that I think are completely out of this world. That is a huge statement of faith. That is a spiritual response. That's a response in the spirit. You know how people are like, I'm in the spirit, don't disrupt? That's a spiritual response. God, just do everything. Anything you want. In fact, somebody said that is the most dangerous statement you could ever give the Lord, because he's actually going to wear you out doing his will. And doesn't he wear us out doing his will? She was a maidservant, and then second day she is willing. Let it be. I'm going to serve and do everything that God wants to do through me. That's the proper response every believer, each one of us should have to the Lord. God, You do it. And interestingly, when God is doing these things through us, as if we are just spectators, as if we're just watching, this has to take all the trust that we have to trust the Lord. Mary agreed, some authors say that Mary agreed to receive a pregnancy that would be seen as suspicious. And this is a culture that had potential death penalty for adultery. Mary identified herself with sinners so that the purpose of God would be fulfilled. She's actually going to allow to do something that is regarded suspicious. She's going to be looked at with suspicion. And somebody said this, spiritually speaking, there are similarities between God's work in Mary and his work in every believer. One of them is this: she's not only content that it should be so, but humbly desires that it may be so. Let it be. The word is amen, right? God says, I'm going to do something in you, and we have to say, amen. Let it be. That's how we end all our prayers. God, amen. So be it. Jesus lives in every believer as we speak today, just like he lived in Mary. Jesus lives with us spiritually by his word, just like he lived with Mary physically. Jesus is made visible to the world through us, just as he was born through Mary. And God has not ceased getting us in the picture of what he's accomplishing. He says, I want to do this amazing thing. The whole world is going to be blessed, and I want to do it through you. Would you please be willing? Would you please be open? 1 Chronicles chapter 17, verses 23-24. And now, O Lord, the word which you have spoken concerning your servant and concerning his house, this is towards the end of David's reign, let it be established forever. And do as you have said. Let it be established that your name may be magnified forever, saying, the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, is Israel's God. And let the house of your servant David be established before you. God, the word that you have said, you have spoken, let it be established. And he says, so that your name is glorified. That is our number one goal. Mary doesn't want to be a mother just so that she's a celebrity mother. Not for any reason, but just that God would glorify himself, that millions and billions over generations would be saved. Imagine that is given to you as a privilege, that thousands and hundreds and millions and billions of people are going to be saved through you. I was reading an article about Billy Graham, and at one point, I think it was in South Korea, his evangelistic crusade was 1 million plus South Koreans. You can imagine speaking to 1 million people. And God is using one frail old man to draw them to his kingdom. And that could be you. That could be anyone here. A massive harvest. And David said to the Lord, just do it for the glory of your name. Matthew chapter 9, verse 29. He touched his eyes, their eyes, saying, according to your faith, let it be to you. So there's this story of, you know, men looking for a miracle. And it's okay for us to go to God asking for a miracle. And in this case, Jesus tells this guy, this blind guy, the miracle is going to happen as much as you believe. It depends on your faith. So if you believe, you're going to see. If you come to me, I can heal you. Then you're going to see. If you believe, you don't, it's not going to happen. Can you imagine? So God says, okay, you want something from me? As much as you believe it is going to happen. You want your sight back? You're going to get it. According to your faith, imagine God said to you, according to your faith, let it be. How big is your faith? Well, how small or how growing is your faith? Our faith starts out small as a mustard seed and then it grows. Imagine God wanted to accomplish something that is worldwide. Not even the one church in some suburb in Kampala and it's international, right? You're like, but you just won. But you're international, right? Imagine God wanted to do something international and he says, as long as big as deep as your faith is, what will happen? You'll be like, okay, God, I'm going to really stretch my belief in you here. In Matthew chapter 15, verse 28, same thing. Then Jesus answered and said to her, lady, coming to him, looking for a miracle. Oh, woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you so desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Imagine God wanted to do something and it depends on what your desire is. What is your desire? Is it selfish? Is it sacrificial? Imagine God says, I'm going to do something, but it depends on what your desire is. This lady's desire is to have her child be healed. And God said, according to your desire, don't you wish you were that lady? And you're like, okay, I have some desires, right? And God says, according to your desire, it's done. You believe that I can do that? It's done. We'll close this Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 to 8. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Amen. Let's stand. If anything doesn't happen as we so think they should this Christmas, remember this. Trust in the Lord who is able to do the impossible. Lord, thank you so much for just coming to intervene in affairs, and all you want to do is work through each one of us to accomplish things that we've even never thought of. And Lord, just as you sent an angel to Mary and explained everything, Lord, you send your word, and you can send us angels, you can send us people, you can send us any form of a messenger to deliver such a message to each one of us. And how we are reminded of your involvement in affairs, how we need to allow your spirit to engulf us, to surround us, to overshadow us, to fill us, to guide us. Lord, that nothing or not any move would make forward without listening to you, without inclining our minds to yours. Lord, how we need to respond to you with a yes, with full obedience, with willingness to serve, with willingness to lay down our lives for your glory. That's our desire, Lord, that you be glorified, that you be honored, that we would be used as small as we are, as insignificant as we are, as maybe a small contribution to what you're doing as it is, but you can multiply it and touch the whole world. That's our desire, Lord. As you've placed us in this city, you've brought us here to listen to this word today. Lord, may we go out inspired, encouraged, and strengthened, and aware of your work amidst us, and you're still working. There's a lot that you still want to accomplish through your people, through your church worldwide. Be glorified, Lord, in Jesus' name.